This is Neil Burns from Draw the Line. You're listening to Monday Night Talk on WATD. I'm back in the saddle again, baby.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Thank you very much, Malcolm, for providing us a little bit of insight what's happening out on the roadways. And if it is not raining where you are, beware, it's going to rain eventually. Yep. Just get in out of the
elements. It's only a matter of time.
As we were trying to going into traffic, give you a little bit of a heads up, as I talked about participating in the Hug Foundation Celebrity Softball Tournament. We also speak with Dave Gosher at 7 o'clock, radio announcer for the Boston Bruins, kind of get his take on what happened with the Bruins last week, as they weren't successful in winning the Cup, but they at least made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll talk with him about that and maybe some of the changes we might see for the new season, which is just 12 weeks away. Then we're going to kind of stay with the sports thing and kind of talk about the week that was last week. It was quite a week in sports for anybody who's a Boston or a New England sports fan. We'll speak with Jerry Thornton from BarstoolSports.com. He also appears on another radio program, Felger and Mavs. Mark Littlefield from KITBSportsMedia.com. And Jackie Pepper from PepperOnSports.com. She also did some work for one of the TV outlets. I believe it was CSN Sports here in the Boston area. But getting down to our first guest who is joining us on the line, I believe he might have been here last week.
I think he was.
And I believe that he is joining us for a couple of minutes to kind of give us a little bit of a take as to what's going on up on Beacon Hill. None other than State Representative Jeff Deal, as he's going to be basically our pinch runner. He's going to be our guy giving us the insight into the State House report. Hello, Representative. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Joe. How you doing?
We're doing good. Pretty good. What is the poop? I'm hearing that there was the conference committee finally agreed on something as far as FY 2014, and now it's in the stages where it's sent on to the governor. Is that true?
That is correct. Although poop, that's a good word to describe what I think came out.
Well, if you're a taxpayer,
The conference committee was the House and Senate members that met to work out the final budget numbers. And if you can imagine, you know, $34 billion basically going in to figure out the differences between the two chamber versions. And what came out, ironically, was another $44 million of more spending than went in. So that was not exactly the direction we were looking to have happen when we were already saying, you know, there's a lot of waste in the budget. We should be trying to cut back a little bit instead of raising taxes. So there was the final conference version that came out today, and it was voted favorably 122 to 29. I was one of the 29 members voting against it, again, mainly because there was very little as far as effort to try to, I think, cut some of the waste and also look to areas where we didn't need to raise that $500 million in taxes. We have actually $600 million in new revenue this year above benchmark. We had the money our hands already, so I just really didn't feel it was necessary to raise the taxes. So while I do appreciate everything in the budget and what it funds, generally sometimes you vote against the budget when you're saying we could have done a different way of financing it.
Jeff, what were some of the waste items in that budget that you in particular were looking at that you wanted to get rid of?
Well, again, there was I think everybody understands EBT reform is really critical right now. I mean, there's millions being spent on it, in fact, wasted, and we had to pay back the federal government $23 million just this last year for overspending in SNAP benefits. And so what we were saying is we need to tighten the clamps on who's getting this. And, you know, one of the things that one of my colleagues, Sean O'Connell, was pushing was, you know, getting Social Security numbers and no self-declaration of saying that you deserve the benefit. You got to prove that you need it. And they decided to leave that out. They did put in photos on EBT cards, but they also made it so it's above 18 and below the age of 60. And, you know, I understand that may help people who have trouble getting to get their photos put on there, or you don't want to have kids under 18 getting photos on there. But at the same time, we're trying to stem trafficking of EBT cards. I mean, you've heard that some cards have had $7,000 balances on them. Some people have had over 125 replaced in a year. And what we're trying to stop is the trafficking of EBT cards. So that was one thing where I think they fell short. And they're saying, well, the Senate is going to be taking up, the Senate president is going to be taking up a significant reform on that. Well, I don't know why we keep kicking the can down the road. We kicked it from last session to this session. Now we're going to kick it into next year. And I just think that was one of the things we should have been looking at a little harder.
Can I ask a quick question? You brought up your colleague, Shauna O'Connell. I believe that she made a statement that there could be a loophole in the EBT card photo ID proposal. I guess this language that says that the department shall promulgate regulations to ensure that all authorized users and members of the household are able to use an electronic benefits card. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. So again, what can happen is that, you know, somebody may obtain a card that's not necessarily theirs, pay for, you know, buy it from somebody at half the rate. So somebody pockets cash in exchange for a card, and then what they do is, you know, some young person would go take that to the store and say, well, it's my mother or it's my father, and maybe they have a different last name, and they can say, well, we just, you know, my parents aren't married. And so what we're basically saying is it becomes a loophole. And the other thing we didn't really do was put in enough punishments towards stores for abuse. You know, again, they keep saying, well, we're gonna do this later. We've got, you know, don't worry, that will be coming. And I think stores need to be held responsible for abuse of the EBT. You know, they make quite a bit of money off this program, and they've looked the other way quite a few times when I think it's pretty evident at this point that stores are compliant with a lot of the abuse that's going on as well.
Well,
so,
go ahead.
That's the EBT portion of it. And again, I think the Republican caucus offered a 1% discretionary spending cut, that not education funds, not local aid funds, but discretionary spending cut that would have helped us ease the budget gap. I offered a tax amnesty amendment that would have helped people who have back taxes owed to the state, companies and individuals, help get them to pay that off without a penalty so that they can get back on with their lives. It's a one-time thing. And so, you know, again, we came up with a lot of solutions that had millions of dollars that would come into the state. And like I said, we already have $600 million in new revenue already. So, the fact that this budget includes tax increases made it very hard for us to approve of it.
How does this help? How does this help us in the long run? Do these taxes help us at all, or does it just generate more money for the state to spend in areas that we may not see? Is it going to go to roadways, bridges? Is it going to go back to the towns and cities in the form of local aid? I know that's something that you have championed over and over.
Well, I mean, look, I will say one thing. Local aid does see the first increase for the first time in 5 years, and that's a sad commentary alone that it's taken 5 years to get local aid restored and back to the towns again, for the first time. But, the other thing is some of it goes, well, you mentioned roads. We wanted to help. You know, we've had a cut in Chapter 90 road funds to the towns for a few years. We decided to help increase that from $150 million, which is typically what they get across the state, to $300 million. We doubled it this year because there was a lot of issues. And the problem was the governor said, well, you didn't raise the taxes to the $2 billion that I wanted, so I'm not going to fully fund your, you know, the Chapter 90 road fund. So he cut it back to the $150 again. So some of this is actually going to be dependent on whether the governor takes this budget and actually approves it. So we're actually not done yet because the governor may end up adjusting these numbers downward again, which he's done in the past. And we had 9C cuts. Again, these were $215 million cut to our cities and towns across the state back in December because he felt that the next, this fiscal year was going to be a downturn. Fact of the matter is, we had, like I said, 7 straight months of new revenues totaling over $600 million. So he could have restored that $215 million like that in the last month or so. We've been asking him to, but it doesn't happen. So it's going to be dependent on the governor, but we've tried to do what's right in our end. And I will say one other thing, and this goes back to when Mitt Romney left in 2006, he left a surplus of $3 billion in the rainy day fund. Well, when I took office in 2011, the last number it was at 2010 was $600 million. So rainy day fund had been used as sort of a emergency piggy bank by the governor, the current governor, and we finally restored it back to $1.5 billion. But again, you know, I will say this. Why are we raising taxes on people and salting this away? I just think that we have new revenues in. Let's use what we've got available right now before we raise taxes on a fragile recovery. That's my thought.
If I could ask you, where does the stabilization fund, the state stabilization fund, or the rainy day fund stand at this moment? How much money is taken from that to supplement the budget that we're going to see for the new fiscal year that we're in currently?
Well, that was interesting. At the beginning of this fiscal year, we had $1.7 million, and then immediately after we were inaugurated, the government asked for a supplemental budget that pulled $550 million out of it. Okay, so now we are down to basically $1.2 billion in stabilization. And then we did another supplemental budget that pulled, at that point, I think it was like 300,000 out. And so we now dip down below. Now, again, when certain revenues come in, they have there's a percentage that has to go back into stabilization. So that's why it has been allowed to increase to 1.5. So it will end the fiscal year at $1.5 billion, which is okay, I'll tell you, but it's not the $3 billion that we had several years ago. And it's certainly, you know, again, something that before we raise taxes on people, again, this is we're raising somewhere between $500 to $800 million in taxes on people. And if they don't remember back in 2009 when the sales tax increase happened, 6.25% sales tax increase, it went to 6.25%. We were supposed to raise about $1 billion in new revenue from that. It only raised about $800 million. So the fact of the matter is, what just passed this last week as a new tax increase through the transportation bill is about akin to what was passed in 2009. So, I don't think we're helping the people when they're already strapped. I mean, household incomes are down 1.8% over last year. That's less income into the house, and yet we're increasing taxes again. It doesn't make sense when we've got the revenue in. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm sorry. I'm a broken record here.
But maybe somebody will listen eventually, right?
Maybe. Like the oldies on Saturday night on ATD, right?
There
somebody's going to listen.
Absolutely. Last thing I'll ask you, big plans. You got the 4th of July coming up. Where do we find State Rep Jeff Deal roaming around?
They should go to Whitman's Town Park every year for quite a few years. I've been there.
Field day.
And I give out watermelons to the folks, so I'll slice up a few dozen watermelons and hand it out as people are playing all the games, doing the relay races and egg tosses and stuff like that. So come early in the morning. I think it starts around 10 or 11, and there's races, there's bike decorating, when you throw, you dunk me in the water tank, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
dunk
I'll do
the
that
clown.
As well. So catch me in the morning on Thursday morning. I'll be there.
Sounds like a plan. We want to thank you for being quick to join us for a few moments, and we're going to look forward to talking to you probably in a couple of weeks.
Great. Thanks, guys. Take care.
You got it. Monday Night Talk. We're going to step aside. We come back. We'll speak with the Senate Minority Leader, Bruce Todd. Don't go anywhere.